It's good to be alive. Is that right? It's good to see each one of you today. God bless you for coming. And it's raining outside. I hope it's raining the spirit inside. Is that okay? R-A-I-N and R-E-I-G-N. Welcome to LifeGate. If this is one of your first times here, and we hope that for some of you it is, if you'll fill that little card for us, it would be great. What we'll do, we're not going to bug you. We're not going to mess with you. We just want a record of your being here. But also, you can redeem it, hopefully for a teaching tape you would enjoy, right out here at the bookstore, or for a coffee and a donut in the back. But what we want to do is just inform you of things that are happening here at LifeGate Church. And thank you again for coming. We know you've got great plans for your life. God does too. Also, we know that you've got loved ones. We want to help you reach them and make them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Not in a big hurry after the service. I'd love to shake your hand and meet you. Thank you for coming. Well, today we're going to conclude our series. So if you've got your Bible with you, hope you do, then please turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Acts 14, 27. That'll get you a little head start on me. There'll be a whole lot more that we'll be looking at as well, but those are just good places to start, okay? While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful life that you've given to each of us, the gift of life, and how truly good it is to be alive. Thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you bless us down our walk with you. And I ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us now. Father, I pray for myself that the things that I will be saying will be interesting, to listen to, and that you'll speak to each and every heart in a very distinct way, so that they'll be able to hear what you're wanting to relay to them and say to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the last of a six-part series that we've been looking at called It's Good to Be Alive. God tells us in His Word that He has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. In other words, both your natural life and your spiritual life, to be fulfilled, God's given you everything that you'll ever need for it. Now, what I want to show you is that scripture where it says that in Galatians and 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this: His divine power has what? Given us everything we need for life. Do you have everything that you need to have a good life? God's given you everything for life and for godliness. Both your natural life and your spiritual life has been taken care of by God. He has given us every single thing that we'll ever need to have either. Through our knowledge of Him. In other words, we've been given everything we need through our knowledge of Him. It's not just going to happen. A good life doesn't just happen. A good life comes through knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, you can hear about Him, you can be told things about God, but when you really have knowledge about an individual or a knowledge about God, you know that person. Knowledge, no, right? So when we have knowledge about God, we're going to know God. We're going to know how He operates. We're going to know His concepts and precepts. If you want a good life, you need to know God. Is that right? Through our knowledge of Him who has called us, who has what? Called us. How many know you've been called? You just know, right? We can talk about that. Who's called us, extremely important, by His own glory and goodness. How many knows it's a glorious thing to be called by God? Hallelujah. It's a good thing to be called by God, isn't it? We can have a glorious life and a good life when we're called by God. So what He's telling us here is that He's given us everything that we need for a good life and for a godly life. We've been talking about these things over the past several weeks. 6 weeks we've been on this series. He's given us His favor, has He not? It's like a royal straight flush. Like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to bite. But man, when you bite into that favor of God, you know what I'm talking about? You can't lose. You don't lose with a royal straight flush, right? He's given us family. When you've got a good family and when you're raising that family up in a godly way and that family is with you, I mean, it's good. And Jesus says, who is my family? Right? So when your natural family and your spiritual family are the same, man, it's good to be alive. He's given us friends. There's friends that sticks closer than a brother. Is that correct? Yeah. Friends with you on your cross experiences, right? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He didn't talk to His natural brother. He talked to His friend. Take care of Mama. See, friends are with you in your cross experience. It's good to be alive and have conflict. Now, we talked about that one. We don't think conflict is good, but what conflict does is just raise us up to the next level of life. When we stop conquering conflict, we stop advancing in life. But as long as we're going on through conflict, we're going to the next level of life. You'll never have a good life unless you understand conflict. It's good to be alive, isn't it, and have conflict. It's good to be alive and have love. Remember that one last week? Valentine's Day. I can't imagine doing life without love. Love fulfills your heart. And today we're finishing it all up with It's Good to Be Alive and Have Faith. That's our title. It's good to be alive and have faith. So I want to talk to you over the next little while about faith. It's good to be alive and have faith. Why is faith given us? First of all, let's see that it is. Faith is given to us by God so that we can do something. Now, what is it that He wants us to do with faith? What is it that faith is really given to us to do? What I want you to see is it's given to you to release you from anything that's holding you back from experiencing the best life you've ever had. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture declares. What does the Scriptures do? Declares. What does that mean? Shouting. The Scriptures shout this, decrees this. This is what all of Scripture is about. This is what Scripture is wanting us to understand. The Scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. Wow. That's what the Scriptures are saying to us. Every one of us have been in some bondage. Every one of us has been held back from experiencing the best life we could ever imagine. Something wants to hold us back. Now, when we think of sin, we think of something gross, more, you know, immorality or addictions or those kinds of things. But sin in the Scriptures is simply anything that keeps you from experiencing the best life you can ever have. Anything that holds you back from the life that God's planned for you, His will for your life. You see, that's what faith is given to us for. Look at this now. But the Scriptures declare, shouts, that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. God's made you great and precious promises. What holds us back from experiencing those things is what the Scriptures call sin, but it's just anything that holds you back from experiencing the promises of God in your life. And what He's given you faith to do is release you from any prison or any bondage that you have. What faith does for us is it's a key to the great life. Faith is the key. Now, there's a lot of keys, but it is the key you need to have if you're going to experience the great life that God has planned for you. Jesus says, I come to give you what? Life and that? Abundance. And anything that stops you from that, anything that holds you back, what faith is there to do for you is release you so that you can go and experience all that God's ever planned for you to have and do. That's what faith is for. And it's been given you to have a great life. It's the key. Now, I've designed this lesson in a way that I hope that each one of us gets something. That each one of us see what faith is given, whatever's holding us back from the life that God's planned for us to have and His will for our life, whatever that it is, that we'll release faith today and we'll walk in a new way, a new dimension of what God has for us. Now, I've wrestled all week as to how to bring this. We sat in the planning session and we were going to build a judge's bench up here and I just couldn't get it going like that. And so I just worked and wrestled. And so finally I came up with what I was going to do. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to say and then I'll explain it. Is that okay? Here's what I'm going to be telling you today. Here is what it is. Faith, in its simplest definition, is a walk through life with God. Let me say it again. Faith, in its simplest definition, is a walk through life with God. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is a walk. It's been given you to experience through life as you walk through life with God, to set you free from any bondage and anything that's holding you back from your best life ever. I'm going to be talking about faith. I want to talk today about faith and how it begins. Faith begins at a door. It's called in the Scriptures the door of faith. the door. I want to talk about this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, on arriving there, there would be Antioch. They, that would be Paul and Barnabas, they had been on the first missionary journey. They're coming back now with a great report of that missionary journey. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened what? The door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but you're a Gentile. And God's opened to you a door of faith, and that's where it all begins. It begins at a door. We call it a lot of things. We call it getting saved. We call it being born again. We call it conviction. No matter what you call it, you're going to start at the door of faith. That's where your best life ever begins, at the door of faith. Now, what I want to talk about now is just what I call the must. The must. The must door. This door is a must. And let me explain it to you. It's a door that you must go through, but it's not just that. See, there's two musts that we go through. One's an external must. It's a must that there's a command. You must do this. And then there's an internal must. There's something that happens inside of us that causes us to do things. Now, let's decide now which one this is. Is it an external must or an internal must? Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone, would you say anyone back to me? Anyone. Nobody can get around this one. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Anyone who comes must believe that He exists and that He rewards. Now, I'm going to talk about this verse just a little bit more in just a few moments. But this is for anyone. This includes you and me and your children, your grandchildren, your parents, whomever. This includes all of us. It begins with a must. Now, must. You can't escape it. It's the Greek word dei. D-E-I is how it's spelled, and it simply means necessary. Call it what you want to, but it's a must. Now, let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you well. Jesus says it this way in John 3:7. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Must. If you believe that God exists, you will come to Him. I went years saying I believed in God. I went years saying I believed God existed, but I never came to Him. When I really came to the conclusion that God is real, that He really exists, I came to Him. I must. If you really believe that God is real, you will come to Him. You cannot escape it. And it's not an outward must. It's not a must that's coming outside of someone telling you you've got to do this, or even God telling you you've got to do this. This must comes from way down in here. This must starts in your heart and it moves in your belly. And all of a sudden, it's something compelling you to come to Him, to come to the door. What I'm talking about. You've experienced the must, right? Anyone does this. You will never serve God by force. But you must serve Him if it's happening inside of you. You must come to the door. And something's going to happen inside of you and stir you up and cause you to come deeper into the walk with God, the walk of faith. Let me look again now at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Let's look at it again. Reading it, it says, faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. When this must thing happens inside of you, and this must thing brings you to the door of faith, when it happens inside of you, it's telling you two things. First of all, that if you come to Him, you will please God. all of a sudden something's happening inside of you that's never happened before where you want to please God. You're not forced to please God. You want to please God. And also that must that's happening inside of you not only tells you that you will please God, but you know what else it'll tell you? Is that if you do, He will reward you. And if you walk through that door, you know. But here's the problem, you see, because when we come to this door, when we come to this door of rewards, this must door, when we come to this born again or being convicted or getting saved door, we have this wrong image of it. You see, here's how we look at this door. We look at this door from this perspective. And we're seeing this shallow little room full of bondages and limits. We're seeing that if I go through that door, my life is going to be all bound up with all these thou shalt nots. That's so wrong. That is not what the Bible teaches. Religion, maybe. But that's not what Jesus says. And that's not what your Bible says. What your Bible says is it's totally opposite. What your Bible says and what Jesus says is that when this door, when you come to your must door and you're standing here and this God is inviting you to come through it, you open this up to a brand new world. And if you step through, you're going to enter a kingdom, a world full of your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations. No boundaries. It's the door of must. Here's how Jesus says it in Matthew. Let me read this one to you. Book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 44, it says this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. What the must door does for you is bring you into your field. What is your field? Mine is doing exactly what I'm doing right now. It's doing exactly what I was created to do. The must door opens to you your field. And in your field is hidden your treasure. Your great life. Your abundant life. And he also says here that the must door, if you come through it, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. It's an ocean. An endless ocean. There's no limits on the ocean. You go all the way around the world. Endless ocean. And he says, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What he's saying here is this little life back here, which is really a prison cell. Did we read that a while ago? I'm not in prison out here. The Bible says that the prison is back here. That the whole world is in prison to sin, right? But when I step through this door by faith, I'm released into everything God has for me. Into this vast kingdom, this vast world, my field, my pearl of great price. That's the way the Bible describes it. And that's the way it really works. And you can ask anyone who's really lived this, and they'll tell you the same thing. You see, it's the must door. It's the door you come through to have your best life ever. Find your field. Find your pearl. Find what you were created to do. The Bible tells us a story about a guy whose name is Jacob, or was Jacob. And he came to the door. He came through the must door. And I want to read it to you a little bit and talk just a few minutes about Jacob. Here's what the Bible says about him in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway or a door or a... He's going to call it a gate in a few minutes. But the stairway resting on earth, which its top reaching to heaven. And the angels, extremely important. That's an extremely important thought there. The angels of God were ascending and descending. Do you get the picture? Jacob sees a stairway. The King James Version says the ladder. But it's a stairway up into heaven. And upon this stairway, angels are going up and down. If you will, divine appointments are going up and down. If you will, God's intervening in your life in a divine way are going up and down this ladder. And at the top of the ladder, it says in verse 13, there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants. Who? See what? You going through this door doesn't just affect you. It affects your children and your grandchildren and your heritage to come. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. And he goes on to the next verse, telling him all the things about that land. And then he goes to verse 15 and he says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will reward you. I will bless you. When we come to God, He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As we walk through that door and begin walking, here's the promise that God gives to us. He says, I will take care of you. I will watch over you wherever you go. No matter what dumb mistakes you make, no matter what crazy things you do, no matter what you get yourself into, and if you know the life of Jacob, that's exactly what he did. He says that I will turn your scars into stars. I got that saying from my wife. That's just one of her things. But I will turn every bad situation in your life into a star in your crown. I will take care of you. And I will bring you back. And this was his desire. This was Jacob's heart's desire. This was his dream. To come back to the land of his father. I will not leave you until you have done what I have promised you. Now if you know the life, he didn't leave him then either. If you know the story of Jacob's life. It's not saying, once I get it done, I'm done with you. No, that's not what it is. Not at all what he means. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. The Lord was inviting Jacob to take a journey. The Lord was inviting Jacob to go on this journey through life, this walk by faith. He says, Jacob, man, if you'll go with me on this journey, I am going to take care of you. I'm going to reward you. I'm going to bless you. I am going to give you angelic encounters. I'm going to give you divine appointments. I'm going to cause your life to intersect with angelic, divine things. And you're going to have a great life. You want to go? Here's what Jacob responded in Genesis 28:17. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? You know, we don't realize it when we come to it, but this is an awesome door. When you come through this door, it's an awesome change in your life. It's awesome what happens. You really start walking it and living it. It's awesome. It's an awesome place. And when you really come to it, you really don't realize how awesome it was until you really look back and see what all God's done. Jacob says, this is an awesome place, man. This is none other than the house of God. Look at this. This is the gate of heaven. Jesus frequently referred to the kingdom as the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is inviting all of us to do is take a walk in heaven. I know it's a little strange for some of us, but we have been caught up and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a walk in heaven when you come through those doors. It's a walk in your best life ever. And so what he's doing here with Jacob is he says, man, I want you to come with me. And so Jacob says, wow, this is cool. I think I'll go. Jacob, here's my offer. I've got plans for you. If you'll walk with me, I'm going to bless your life. If you'll walk with me, I'm going to bless not only your life, I'm going to bless your family's life. If you'll walk with me, Jacob, through this walk, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you divine appointments, angelic visitations. I'm going to move upon your life in a way you cannot imagine. I'm going to fulfill your dreams. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to make you come back to where your heart's desire is, back to the land of your father. I'm going to take care of you. You want to go? What did Jacob do? He went. That's what most of you have done. You felt the must. You walked through the door. And you're on a journey with Jesus through life. You're walking by faith. You're being released from bondages and things that want to hold you back and keep you from experiencing that life. But by faith, if you allow it to work in your life, every single thing that ever stops you or hinders you will become the scar that it meant to be, will become a star in your life and a star in your crown. God will turn everything around. Here's what Jacob replied to the Lord in Genesis 28:20. He says, "Then Jacob made a vow saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking.'" How many of you are with me so far? You know you're on a journey with Jesus. Raise your hand if you know you're on a journey. And he's saying here, if you'll watch over me and take care of me on this journey that I'm taking, I will, and give me food and eat and clothes to wear. In other words, if you'll just take care of me and take care of all my needs so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. That's a deal. That's a deal. You can make that deal with God. If you will take care of me, God, you can be my God. But here's what Jacob said. "And this stone that I set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth." That passage has always fascinated me. God didn't ask Jacob to do that, did he? God didn't ask Jacob to tithe. But Jacob, out of his heart, and this is one of the first times that tithing is even mentioned in the Bible, he just said, out of his heart, "If you'll take care of me, I'll do my part." And God did take care of Jacob, and Jacob did his part. And his life is phenomenal. I come through that door of faith in May 7th, 1978. Judy and I walked through the door. Let me tell you just a little bit about it. I outwardly appeared in 1978 to be a guy that had it all together. I had a good job, I made good money, had a decent education, looked really nice. Just, they should have got a bigger laugh than that, folks. Had a great family. It looked good. I made more money than my friends made. And I thought we had it going, but inside of me was something that just was not quenched, not satisfied. And I had been dealing with something for weeks. And I didn't understand it. I was processing. I was asking questions about God. People that I knew were Christians and believed and went to church, I would ask them questions about God. I wanted to know. I was processing this. I was trying to figure it out. I would come home and go in the bedroom and lay in the bed and read the Bible before I came through the door. I wanted to figure it out. I wanted to know what this thing about God was really about. But something inside of me was musting. There was a must going on inside of me. This particular Sunday morning, we were laying in the bed. And normally on Sunday mornings, we would get up and go to the lake. We would get up and go play with our friends. But this particular Sunday morning, I lay there awake, processing what was happening inside of me, waiting for Judy to wake up. She finally did, and I looked at her and I said, "Do you want to go to church this morning?" Now, for me to say that was really, really strange. And she looked back at me with this inquisitive look and said, "Yeah, if you do." We got up, and it's a crazy story, but anyway, we got up and we finally got to church, and we came to the must door, our gate of heaven, and there we stood. What would we do? What would I do? And that's really what it comes down to. It really didn't matter what Judy would do. What would I do? Would I come through it, or would I turn and walk away? It was my gate of heaven. It was God saying to me, "If you'll come through, I'll bless you. If you'll come through, I'll bless your family. If you'll come through this door and walk through life with me, I'm going to give you a life that you have no idea what you can accomplish." What would I do? What did I do? Well, we all know what I did, right? I walked through. And I began a walk of faith, a walk with Jesus through life. It's 27 years ago. I've never one day regretted it. Not one day. just like Jacob. I've never regretted it. He never regretted it. It's been a walk of faith, a walk through life with God. It's been wonderful. Most of you here have been affected by my decision to walk through that door. People you don't even know will be affected when you walk through that door. It's an awesome door. It's a gate to heaven. It's a gate to your field. It's a gate to the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. And it's a must. It will not happen without going through the door of faith. The must door. As we look at Jacob's journey, we see some interesting things. Before I look at it, I just want to say this. See, I really believe that some of you here today are standing at the door of faith, the must door. I believe God's dealing with you, and some of you have been processing over weeks. You're trying to determine, what is this thing I'm going through? What is this happening inside of me? And you've determined that you're going to go through the door of faith. You just don't understand it. So I'm hoping that by my talk today, it'll make it clear to you. I'm hoping that at the end of our service, that you'll be able to come down and allow me to help you through the door of faith. But first, let me talk a little bit more about Jacob so you'll see what your life will be like when you come through it. So Jacob's life was interesting. It was a journey. When you look at Jacob's life, it's an extremely interesting thing to see what happened to him. First of all, Jacob began a life and he met this beautiful woman named Rachel and he married her. And then through some really weird and strange stuff happening, Jacob ends up with 12 sons and a daughter. He ends up extremely wealthy. He ends up walking his life through and going back and God doing exactly what God told Jacob that he would do. There were good times and there were bad times, but God was there every time. In your walk, there's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times, but I promise you, God will be there every time. He wants you to have the best life you can possibly imagine. There were ups and there were downs, but God always showed up in his life and always took Jacob to the next level of blessing. Always. He was constantly moving upon the life of Jacob. Now, he became very wealthy, very successful, and his dreams were fulfilled. Before I leave the thought of him and move on to the next thought that I want to talk about, which is the walk of faith, not just coming through the door. But I want to talk about the walk of faith and make it practical to us. But I want to make one more observation here about Jacob. Remember when I told you about him coming to his gate, he saw the angels ascending and descending? And I told you that there would be angelic encounters? Well, Jacob had four or five of these that the Bible tells us about. Four or five different times where he would have an encounter. And what these angels would do was take these bad times, these crazy times that Jacob would pull off, and do some of the dumbest and stupidest things that you ever read about in the Bible. But when he would meet these angels would turn everything around. For example, one time an angel came and told Jacob, he said, "Man, if you'll take some sticks and put them at the watering troughs and let your cattle watch these sticks when they mate, you'll get wealthy." It worked. It worked. Yeah, it probably won't work for you and me. But it worked for Jacob. My point is that God will do that for you. God will make things that aren't supposed to work, work. They're divine appointments. They're angelic confrontations. Now, it may not be in your life. It may not be a time where a literal angel comes out of heaven and talks to you. But it will be a divine appointment. Somebody will come along. It might be your spouse. It might be your child. It might be somebody you've never met before in your whole life. It could be your preacher. But somehow God will tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. That's the stairway. That's the life you can expect. So walk by faith. Now let me talk to you a few minutes about this walk by faith. And I want to try to make it as applicable to our life and as practical as I possibly can. Let me first of all give you the definition, the Bible, biblical definition of faith. Okay? Once I read it, it'll be crystal clear to you exactly what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Crystal clear, right? Got it? I have two theological degrees and another degree in accounting, and I don't know all yet what that verse means. I do know this. Let me simplify it to the best I can for you. Faith is a blend of hope and evidence. Let me say that again. Put that verse back up there for me, please. Let them see. Faith is a hope. Faith is a blend, a mixture of hope and evidence. For what do you hope for? For what do you hope in life? What is it? Your finances? Your marriage? Your children? A job? Health? What do you hope? Now, what evidence do you have that that's going to happen? Faith is the blending of not just your hope, but also some evidence that proves to you that it's going to happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a blending together of hope and faith. What Jesus said is Jesus talked about, and was teaching about faith. He says this in Mark 11:22, very, very popular passage when you're talking about faith. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, your obstacle, your prison, the thing that's holding you back from your best life, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I will tell you whatever. Now you have to put your whatever, because that's where your hope is. Whatever you ask in prayer, what is your whatever? What is your hope? Therefore, I tell you, whatever your hope is, you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Next verse. Don't lose the context. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him or her, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, we were putting this together. We were sitting in the planning session, and we decided we were going to make a bench here, a judge's bench, and our whole thrust was going to be on evidence. We were going to say that if you're a believer, then there should be evidence. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a believer? In other words, faith has evidence. But as I've developed that, it just wasn't working. But we had assimilated some things and gotten some thoughts together that were working. And so when you come to justice, right, when we're thinking about justice and this bench and the judgment thing and all that stuff that we were going to project, you know, there is the seal of judgment. Would you put that seal up there for me, please? There's the seal. It simply means that justice is sealed. And so what we wanted to do was project that to you, you know. And so we came up with the scales. Would you flip the scales up there for me? Scales. And we think, you know, that justice is balanced. Justice isn't. Justice means I win.
Yep. Yeah.
Huh? See, God doesn't want the devil to win. God wants me to win how many times? Every time. And so I wanted a way to project that to you. God wants you to win every single time. And what faith does is tip the scales your way. Now, let me see if I can help you see this. Jesus says, yep. He says, you got faith, but you can have your mountain move. God will move your mountain, and you can have whatever your hope is. He says, I'll take care of all that. But there's some things that you've got to do. First of all, there's four things in that passage that says we're supposed to do. First of all, we're supposed to speak to the what up, to the mountain, right? Whoever says to this mountain, you got to learn to talk to that thing that's holding you back. You got to learn that no matter what that bondage is, no matter what that thing, no matter what your hope is, no matter what your whatever is, you got to command it. Get behind me, Satan. You got to command it. Get yourself into the sea. You got to start talking to it. You got to take authority over it. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Whatever. But you talk to that thing. That's the first thing you got to do. Secondly of all, you got to pray. You ask in prayer. Right? Third thing you got to do is you got to believe that you already have it. And the fourth thing you got to do is make sure you're forgiven and that you have forgiven anyone. In other words, make sure there's nothing blocking your access to heaven. Make sure nothing's going on in your life that's going to stop you from receiving what God has for you. Now, he says if you'll do that, then you can move into this area where the mountain will be moved. The thing that's holding you back, your prison will be moved. You will be released. He says this is what's happening. Now, let me see if I can help try to make this as applicable to us as I can. Judy and I began our walk through the faith door. And like most married couples, one of the things that we encountered were problems with finances. We made good money, but yet there was never enough money to pay the bills, and we were in debt. I hated the phone calls from the debtors. I hated that stuff. You owe me money, when are you going to pay? I hated that. I hated to get the letters in the mail. I hated to be behind. It bothered me, and it bothered me badly. We were walking with God. And we were coming to some dark times in our finances. Walking in a dark way, though. And we believe, though, that God spoke to us, that we had an angelic encounter. We believe that the Lord showed up on our walk and told us, with an angelic appointment, a divine appointment, and told us exactly how to get out of debt. That we could be debt-free. Now, most of you have heard this story, but I'm going to say it again, because it's good for my faith. We were walking, you know, and we had this debt going on. And so God told us that we had this debt going on, you know, and it was pulling my life down. It was bringing me down and bringing our family down, and I wasn't able to give to the kingdom like I wanted to give, and it was pulling me down. And so God came and he said to us, he says, here is what you can do. And he gave us a plan. He says, if you'll sell the house that you now have, take the equity that you have, pay off all of your bills, build a new house, a larger house, a nicer house, then you will build that one free also. That was his promise. You can build that one free also, and you will come out of that thing debt free. Now, that wasn't supposed to happen. How in the world was I going to leave this smaller house, build a bigger house, a nicer house, pay off all my debt that I already had, plus have a new home already debt free? It was like putting sticks, you know, at the feeding trough of cows and expecting them to mate and produce either solid or speckle striped and spotted calves. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's not supposed to happen. But how many knows that with man it was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So we did it. We put our house on the market. We sold our house. We began building a new house. Began building, paid off all of our debts, began building. The money did not run out until that house was finished. 1 year later, you know what happened? I moved into a brand new home, and I was completely debt-free. Now, that's sometime. Now, so as we walk through here, we experience that, and so we leave footprints. Steps of faith. Walking by faith, you see. Now, since that time, I have had encounters where I would run into dark times with my finances. Personal or here at the church, there just wouldn't be enough money. And so what I would do is I would hope for. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. My hope had substance. I knew what I hoped for. My faith had substance. Substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Where is my evidence? Here's my evidence. My evidence is where I walked through that before. And so if I blend together my hope and my evidence, what God does is start working in my life, and all of a sudden I see my life changing. But that's not exactly where God wants my life to be. He wants it way on my side, right? You understand what I'm trying to say here? Judy and I have been married for 38 years. Now, I know you're asking, Dale, but you're only 42 years old. How in the world could you have been married for 38? With man, it's impossible. But we, like you, any married couple, we've had our dark times. We've had times, you know, when it got dark and life just wasn't working well and pulling us both down. But we would walk through them, and every time we'd walk through them, we'd leave footprints, footsteps. And so, I don't know if you've ever been married, but you know if you have that you're going to face some dark times, and not just one. But every time that we would have one, God would show up, and somehow, as we would hope for a reconciliation, but there was really no evidence out there. But if we look back at where the evidence was and blend together our hope and our evidence, what God would always do is work in my life and bring us back down to the scale tipping to my side. What faith does is tip the scale your way. Faith releases you from the prisons that hold you and sets you free so that you can experience the abundant life. God is on your side. He wants you to be victorious and have the abundant life. And it's good to be alive and have faith. I've watched some of you this year and past couple of years go through some very dark times with your health. I've had to watch you take chemo. I've had to watch you go through cancer and fight that stuff. Surgeries. I've watched it pull you down. I've watched you battle it. But you've done just exactly like I've relayed to you here so far. You've walked through those times, through that door, in your walk of faith, in your walk with Jesus. And as you walk through it, though you hope for a healing, and you can't see it out there, you're still hoping for it. But the thing that got you through and got you your healing was you were able to look back at all the evidence and all the times that God has moved in your life, all the times that He has healed you in the past, and you were able to go back and get that evidence and apply it back to your life and walk on with God, and you have seen God move in your life. See, faith is a blending of what you're hoping for but the evidence. And when you blend those two together, you have a confidence that it's going to move in your life again. And you walk on, and you walk on, and you walk on. God has a plan for your life. It's a great plan. It's a marvelous plan. It's a wonderful plan. And when you combine your hope with your evidence, all of a sudden you tip the scales to your side of life. And it releases you from anything that's holding you back from experiencing your best life yet. And it all begins where? At the door of faith. And then you walk. Don't run. Walk by faith. And you allow God to move in your life. So what is your mountain? What's holding you back? What's pulling your life down? What is your mountain? What I'm wanting you to hear today is you reach back and get the evidence. And if you don't have any yet, then come through the door and start walking with God. And He's going to give you evidence and He's going to be with you. And you're going to live a life that's victorious. What holds you in prison and stops you from experiencing your best life yet? God wants to help you. I want to end with this. I talked about Jacob earlier, and I was reminded this week as I was preparing this lesson of a message that I taught over 10 years ago. I was reading through the book of Hebrews, and I was in the 11th chapter. And the 11th chapter, if you're not familiar with the Bible, is called the Hall of Faith. And it gives us all these people who have walked through life with God and left a trail of evidence of their faith. And I came to this verse that I want to read to you in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, and it just stopped me. And I had to stop and do some research. Here's what it says. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It's a reference to Genesis chapter 47 and verse 21. And it was a staff that Jacob had. Jacob had this staff his whole life. The Bible tells us that he had it when he crossed the Jordan, when he had his encounter at the gate of heaven. And he went through life with it. And as he came to the end of his days, he leaned upon it as he blessed his heritage. What a staff was, as I studied it and found in the Scriptures, it was his journal. The staff of a man was his journal or his diary. And he would grave or carve or paint onto his staff his life, his steps. And he could look back at it and he could talk to his grandchildren or his children or whomever. He was able to tell about the goodness of God. And he was able to look back at his journal and talk about that. That's where I crossed the Jordan. Oh, there was Esau. Oh, I was running from Esau. Jordan. Mm. I met Rachel. Leah. Oh, me. Reuben. Reuben was born there. That's where Reuben was born. Oh, my, Laban. Laban didn't do me right. Laban, I made sure I forgave him. Laban. Judah. Asher. Oh, my life. My life. Joseph. Joseph was born. Joseph. Laban tricked me again. Oh, my. Oh, the angel. The angel told me if I did those sticks, I could become wealthy. Angel. Wow. All the herd and the cattle. Oh, Peniel. That's where I wrestled with God. And He changed my name from Jacob to Israel. Wow. I remember now. Evidence. Benjamin was born. Rachel died. Oh, coat of many colors. I remember giving that to Joseph. Oh, I lost Joseph. Famine. Famine in the land. But I found Joseph. I found Joseph. Oh. Moved to Egypt. Blessing my children. Reuben and Manasseh, Joseph's kids. Wow. God's been good to me. And Jacob had a life that he could lean on. A life that would support him because of all the footprints. His walk by faith. The Bible says when he was old, Genesis chapter 47 says this. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. Jacob never regretted ever walking through his door. He walked a life of evidence. Whenever he would come up against something, he was able to always look back at his evidence and lean on it. And it would always take him on. What is your life producing? How is your life? What evidence do you have? Is it a life you can lean on? It will begin by coming to the door of faith and then looking back at all the evidence and watching God move for you and tipping the scales in your favor every time. It will be a life of angelic encounters and meetings of God, wrestling with Him sometimes, not understanding what He's doing, but knowing He's taken you someplace that you couldn't go by yourself. God has given us everything we need for a good life and godliness. Everything. One of the main keys He's given you is faith. I want to invite you to walk through the door of faith. Some of you never have. This is the life we offer. This is the hope we have. This is our certain future. I want you to walk through it today. You've been wrestling with it. You don't know what's happening. I've tried to explain it to you. It's a walk you'll never regret. But God wants you to have the best life possible. And He'll fulfill all your dreams. Let's bow our heads. Delbert, you're right, man. Man, it's been a wrestling match the last couple of weeks. I don't know what God's doing. I just know He's got me messed up. I'm wrestling, and I really want to come. I want to go through the door of faith. I want to see my life change. I want to experience those blessings, and I want God to move for me. God's asking you today, you want to go with me? I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. I'll bless your children. I'll bless you. You want to walk through me through life? If that's you, would you just raise your hand up? Say, "Pray for me, man." Amen.